Hello, and welcome to worship from Lochaber in the West Highlands. Welcome to you, whoever you are, and wherever you are. Whether you're in a rural area like this, in a town, or in a city. And wherever we live, we'll probably see other people. If you're in a town, you'll see them in the flesh, so to speak, in the streets, walking past the window. Here, we also see people in the flesh, but we probably see more people in a day on the screen, on the television, or through the internet. Some people will know, and some will be complete strangers. But each of them will have their own story, the story of their lives to date, and a story that will probably include both joy and pain. We're going to hear the story today of a woman that none of us knew. She lived 2,000 years ago. But Jesus knew her, he knew her story, and he loved her, as he knows our stories, and loves us. Our call to worship, some verses from two different books of the Bible. The first one from the prophet Jeremiah, from the very beginning of his book. And just to show that even here in a remote rural area, we do see people going past. But anyway, back to Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to me saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." And then a response from the Psalms, from the Psalm set today, Psalm 71. "From birth, I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you." So let us praise the Lord, who knows us and is with us throughout all of our stories. And we'll sing the hymn through all the changing scenes of life.
Now let us draw near to our God as we pray. Parent God, we gather as brothers and sisters, bound by our love for you and for the wonderful universe you have created. We gather together, united as one, drawn together by our love for Jesus. We come to sing, to listen, to share more of your story. We come to listen and learn more of your love and to understand more of what we are called to do and to be in this amazing world. Lord, we are created in your image. We each have a part to play in bringing the kingdom here and now. We come humbly into your presence, aware of our faults and our failings. We come and offer our apologies for all we have done or failed to do this past week. We ask your forgiveness and seek to turn back and choose to follow in your ways. Lord, we are well aware of the needs of the world, locally and globally. We know we have work to do to bring peace and justice. And we'll bring it for our brothers and sisters. Give us strength and courage to step out in your name. Help us to take your love to all in need. So be it. And these are prayers. This our worship, our lives we offer to you, our God of love. Amen.
Psalm 71. Lord, I have come to you for protection. Never let me be defeated. Because you are righteous, help me and rescue me. Listen to me and save me. Be my secure shelter and a strong fortress to protect me. You are my refuge and defence. My God, rescue me from wicked men, from the power of cruel and evil men. Sovereign Lord, I put my hope in you. I have trusted in you since I was young. I have relied on you all my life. You have protected me since the day I was born. I will always praise you. Luke 13, from verse 10. One Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in a synagogue. A woman there had an evil spirit that had made her ill for 18 years. She was bent over and couldn't straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called out to her, "Woman, you are free from your illness." He placed his hands on her, and at once she straightened herself up and praised God. The official of the synagogue was angry that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. So he spoke up and said to people, "There are 6 days in which we should work. So come during those days and be healed, but not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites. Any one of you would untie his ox or his donkey from the stall and take it out to give it water on the Sabbath. Now here is this descendant of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound up for 18 years. Should she not be released on the Sabbath?" His answer made his enemies ashamed of themselves, while the people rejoiced over all the wonderful things that he did. Amen.
In this Gospel reading, the focus is often on the exchange between Jesus and the synagogue leader. But who was more affected by the event? The woman or the leader? The synagogue leader may have had his life changed after reflecting on Jesus' words. The woman definitely had hers changed. So today, I want to think about the woman. Many of Jesus' healings are recounted in just a few Bible verses. This actual healing is told in 3 verses, a tiny amount of the Gospels and a much smaller amount of the whole Bible. Like many people Jesus healed, the woman is not named. So what do we know about her? We are told that she'd been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. It doesn't say from birth, and the term used, woman, not young woman, suggests that she was slightly more mature, although not necessarily elderly. Whatever her actual age, 18 years would have been a significant part of her life. Something had happened to her 18 years ago. Illness, accident, possibly even some traumatic event that harmed her mental health in such a way that she exhibited physical disability. We don't know the details. At the time, any of these could have been attributed to an evil spirit. Whatever had happened, it resulted in her being completely bent over and unable to straighten up at all. We may get a very small insight into what that was like by thinking about walking on a very uneven track or an icy path. We keep our eyes on the few feet of ground in front of us. But we can stop and look up and around. On holiday recently, Mike and I walked on lots of tracks in the hills, some very uneven and stony. But I did stop to look up, enjoy the scenery, and take photos. I also stopped when we met someone, in order to talk to them. Talk to them looking at them, not at my feet. The woman's field of vision would have been very restricted. What was more than a few feet in front of her? Were there any hazards? Who was it chatting over there? Who was walking past her? What was the noise about? What was happening? In a group of people, she may well have been ignored or at least unnoticed. People not seeing her face, talking to each other over her bent back. They may have been embarrassed or wary, thinking that she had an evil spirit. She was almost certainly in pain, possibly from the original injury or illness, but also from the unnatural posture and the pressure that would create on her internal organs. Then, was she married? She may already have been married 18 years ago, and her husband may have continued to be a great support. But he also may have divorced her. We don't know. If she hadn't already been married, it's unlikely that anyone would have married her with the disability. In the culture of the times, in general, women relied on husbands to provide for them. Since there's no suggestion that she was a beggar, perhaps either a husband or her family did support her. She still attended the synagogue. She probably still had faith. She was not at all pushy. She didn't come to Jesus and ask for healing. Jesus called her forward. This in itself is unusual. In most of the healings, someone asks Jesus to heal. Jesus sees her, calls her forward, and speaks to her, telling her that she is free from her infirmity. He says this before he touches her. Again, slightly unusual. In most cases, the touch precedes the declaration of healing. I think that Jesus was being understanding of her needs, was being sensitive. A touch with no preamble from someone she couldn't see could have been alarming. Whereas a touch after he had spoken to her would have been reassuring. Three short verses in the Gospel, a tiny part of the Bible. But what a massive change in her life. She immediately praises God. I wonder whether the verses from Psalm 71 we've just heard had featured in her prayers during her life. She would certainly have been familiar with the Psalms. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Yes, many would have considered her situation shameful. In your righteousness, rescue me and deliver me. Turn your ear to me and save me. How often had she cried for help? Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Did she find refuge in her faith? Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of those who are evil and cruel. People can be very cruel to those with disabilities. For you have been my hope, Sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. Did her hope ever desert her? Did she hold on to hope throughout? From my birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. She certainly praised God for her healing. So, what does this say to us today? The woman had a story of her life. As I said earlier, everyone has a story. The story of their life to date. A story that we hope will include some happy and joyful events, but also possibly a story that may include events that tie up and restrict in some way. It may be something to do with our physical bodies. It may be emotional, loss, unkindness, betrayal. It may be something that has diminished our confidence or self-esteem. It may be guilt or shame. Whatever our stories, Jesus knows them. He knows each one of us as he knew the woman in the Gospel. No one is overlooked by Jesus. No one is insignificant to God. God who sees and loves all, who calls to each one to draw near to him, to be freed from whatever binds us, whatever ties us up, restricts us. Jesus can and will free us. As Jesus' body on earth, we are called to follow his example. We are called to be particularly aware of those who so easily may be overlooked. Would we have noticed the woman in the way that Jesus did? Or would she just be left out of the way in a corner? We are called to reach out and show others God's love, especially being aware of the quiet people in the background, those who never ask for help, regardless of their circumstances. But, as Jesus did, we reach out with sensitivity. We don't impose. We give people the opportunity to share their stories with us, whilst realising that some people do not want to talk, that they just do want to stay quietly in the background. It takes time. It takes time to build trust. It will require patience. It will require prayer, offering ourselves to be used by God, listening to His guidance. Through us, as stories are told and hidden hurts acknowledged, God can reach out with His love. Love that can untie what binds and restricts people, bringing them to the fullness of life He promises. Amen.
Now we bring our prayers for others and for ourselves. Lord of the Sabbath, we're glad to spend time with you this day. We're grateful for the different opportunities to worship you, whether in church buildings or as we share from the comfort of our own homes. We thank you for all those who make this possible, for those who have trained to lead us in worship, for those bringing together audio and video, for those reading and sharing and making music, bringing together our time of worship to you, our God. We remember before you those who don't have the luxury of a place, an opportunity to gather safely to worship. We remember congregations who have to meet in secret. We think of those who worship in so many different ways, in buildings, online, in homes, in coffee shops, prisons and bomb shelters. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Healing Lord, we are fortunate to have access to healthcare. For many of us, freely available. Access to the specialists who heal and to care in all the different areas of health and well-being. We're thankful for all who work in healthcare settings and give their time and their talents in helping others. We remember those who struggle to access healthcare, maybe lacking the money to pay for it. We pray for all those training to become healthcare providers or thinking about it as a career. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Merciful God, we cannot thank you enough for loving us as we are, always willing to forgive when we fail you. We give thanks for the people in our lives who treat us with mercy and forgive us when we fail them. We remember people who live under abusive or unjust rulers, and we pray they may know your mercy. We pray for all who work to help people in different difficult situations, volunteers and paid staff. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us and give us patience to wait until you call us to speak or act in ways that build your kingdom here and now. May we be bold and courageous as we work for your kingdom to come. And may we know your presence with us every moment, guiding us always forward. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We offer them to you, our God, of love, of justice, of freedom, of peace. Amen.
Lord, you offer us so much. Your gifts never come to an end. We bring you only what is yours, that you might use this offering and the givers for the spreading of your love in our world, to the glory of your name. Amen. And we draw our prayers together in the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever. Amen.
Praise my soul, the King of heaven. To his feet thy tribute bring. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Who like thee his praise should sing? Praise him, praise him, praise him. Yeah.
May we take time to ensure that all in our midst are noticed, heard, listened to, and respected as children of God. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon us, upon all who we love, and upon all God's children everywhere. Amen.